Can I please invite you to stand for the reading of God's word today? Praise the name of Jesus. If you have a copy of God's word, I ask you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I will read from verse number 8 and following. John chapter 14, and I'll read from verse number 8 and following. I just love hearing those pages turn in this room. And if you are watching online, we're so glad that you are joining us in opening God's Word. I'm already excited with the last song we sang. Amen? Amen. Now, this is the Word of God. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves." Verse number 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray, dear God, that you will visit us in a very special way. We don't invite you into our presence. We are grateful that you invited us into your presence. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. More than 70 years ago, Reverend Everett Swanson flew from Chicago to South Korea to minister to the American troops fighting in the Korean War. And during his time there, he grew increasingly troubled by the sights of hundreds of war orphans living on the streets, abandoned by society. One morning, he saw city workers scoop up what looked like piles of rags and toss them into the back of a truck. He walked up to the truck for a closer look and was horrified to see that the piles were not rags, but the frozen bodies of orphans who had died overnight on the streets in South Korea. Swanson could not turn his back on these unwanted children and vowed to find a way to help them. Appalled by the great number of small, shivering and starving war orphans on the streets, Reverend Swanson began including his experience in Korea into his revival meetings, and Christians responded by donating funds to purchase rice and fuel for the children in South Korea. Soon after, he developed a special sponsorship program for individuals, families, or churches to help support orphans for a few dollars a month. The sponsorship money provided biblical lessons, food, clothing, shelter, and medical aid on a regular basis for those who are orphaned in South Korea. To handle the funds and attend the day-to-day business of ministering to the orphans, Reverend Swanson formed a nonprofit, Everett Swanson Evangelistic Association, in the basement of his Chicago home. For 40 years, we played an important role in Korea, helping the children thrive and grow into the adults who built a prosperous economy. Today, South Korea is a great partner country with sponsors. They're now helping children in low and middle income countries. In December 2018, less than 10 years after reaching the milestone of 1 million sponsored children, we registered our 2 millionth child. We are deeply thankful and humbled by the milestone, but with a billion children still living in poverty around the world, we are committed to building capacity to serve far more. With God's help, we are setting our sights on reaching as many children as possible. And we pray that exponentially more supporters around the globe will join us in the life-transforming work, says current Compassion President and CEO Jimmy Maledo. After more than 70 years of serving children in Jesus' name, we continue to devote ourselves to helping children of all faiths, cultures, backgrounds, and races. We continue to offer our programs to the poorest of the poor, to the children in greatest need, without ulterior motive, and we continue to rely upon the trust and ability of our church partners to create environments of unparalleled stability where children experience God's love and acceptable in tangible ways. Working in Jesus' name is not a platitude. It's a strategy we've followed since Reverend Swanson first created our ministry in 1952. Today, Compassion International is a global ministry that serves more than 2.2 million babies, children, and young adults by partnering with more than 8,500 churches in 29 countries to help break the cycle of poverty in Jesus' name. Looking at our text today, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And Jesus tells the disciples, the work that I do, you also will do. But greater still, you will do greater work that I have done. Here's an example of this over 1 billion children in the world that's struggling with poverty. 2.2 million is just the beginning. The works that I do, Jesus said, which includes his miracles and his activities and his teachings, the works which his disciples will do will be far greater because they will go worldwide with the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe writes, and I quote, "These miracles were not greater in quality, for a servant is not greater than his master, but rather the scope and the quantity of the ministry will go further," unquote. For my time in this preaching hour, greater works, John chapter 14 and verse number 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." When I read the book of Acts and all that took place after Jesus went to be with the Father, I did not read about apostles turning water into wine. I did not read the feeding of 5,000 by the mountainside, but I did read when the word of God is being proclaimed and 3,000 filled the altar that day of Pentecost. Church of the Living God, if you and I want to do greater works, we've got to quit fishing with fishing poles and start casting the net. What does greater works look like for you, those of you who know Jesus Christ? What does greater works look like for you? Do you need another sermon? Do you need another Lifeway material? What will it take for you to get up from your slumber and look at to the horizon and the need that's around all of us from our neighbors and the nations? Greater works. If you look at the passage from John chapter 13, Jesus is dealing with Judas because he's going to betray him. Further on in verse number 36, in chapter 13, talks to Simon Peter because he knows he's going to deny him. Then come to chapter 14, he's addressing Thomas because he was doubting. Now he comes to Philip, and Philip says, "Show us the Father." You can see Jesus is addressing issues from his own disciples. And he's addressing these issues because the work that he has done is just the beginning. Last week we wore our suits and wore our fancy clothes, but Easter is just the beginning. It's not to go for a fashion parade of our wardrobe. Easter is just the beginning. Because life begins at resurrection. And Jesus calls his disciples. And when Philip asked the question, "Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father." In order for you to know the Father, there's four types of knowing in the Bible, in the Gospel of John. It appears 91 times. But if you want to know the Father, knowing the Father is a deeper relationship, a deeper communion with the Father that you will live your life from. What breaks the heart of the Father will also break your heart. He's not talking about if you know your memory verse. He's talking about have a heart that melts the hearts of God, that when you see starving children in left as being orphans, you will say, "I want to do something about it." Greater works. So what does greater works look like for Olive Baptist Church? What does greater works look like for a disciple of Jesus Christ? I've got a few comments that I would like to share with you today. Number one, we need to have a greater faith. We need to have a greater faith. In verse number 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." I'm afraid that we have got confused. Scripture talks about we walk by faith, not by sight. But many of us these days walk by sight and not by faith. If you want to do greater works in the kingdom of God, if you want to take the gospel where it has never been from your neighbors and the nations, we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And what is faith, you may ask? Faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, "Now faith is an assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Would you agree with me when I say faith is not having all the answers or ability to explain everything? Or else it will not be faith. If you can explain everything, it's not faith. Faith is when the unexplainable is overwhelmed by the undeniable. Church of the living God, have we settled for walking in Christ through sight? And we got comfortable to do the things with the resources we have? Or are we going to trust Him to do things even if we don't have the resources? We know God is going to do it. When we walk by faith and not by sight, we seek God on an adventure. We seek God on a thrill every day for Him to come across to meet our needs where He finds us. Oh, I wish you heard Dakota's sermon this morning. Go and read it. Listen to it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Dakota, that shepherd will take you to a place when you are trusting God in faith. When you walk and follow God in sight, it takes away the thrill, it takes away the adventure, and more especially, it takes away our eyes from the one who sits on the throne. So we take our eyes and place it on what we have in front of us. Sight trusts in self. Faith trusts in our Savior. And if you and I want to do greater works that Jesus is talking about, we need to take our eyes out of sight and place it on the eye, our eyes on the throne room of Jesus where He's seated today, interceding on our behalf. Jesus' work was only to do the will of the Father. He prays it in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done." So if you want to do greater works, ask the Lord to give you greater faith. Amen. How many times you said, God, if you provide, then I will do it. Well, that's lazy. Where's the thrill in that? Right. Trust God every day for your daily bread. Imagine if you and I add bread and milk and it expires every day. Imagine there was no organic milk you can sit for 2 months in your fridge. Walmart will be a busy place. God's will is lived by His faith. God's will through God's word, through God's strength, will help you live for Him and you'll do greater works. I'm asking you today in faith, seek God's will for your life. It'll build your faith. You may dodge a few bullets, maybe two. But if you are here today and you be patient and living for Jesus, I'm just telling you right now, you will surely get your penny's worth along the journey. But you and I choose to be comfortable. Live by sight and not by faith. I don't want to be a sightful Christian. I want to be a faithful Christian. Imagine with me for a minute. Just imagine with me. What would a modern-day Abraham look like? What would a modern-day Abraham look like? I mean, Jesus, God gave the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He and his wife never had kids. In the old age, God gave a promise. And guess what happened? He blessed with a son, Isaac. And so God gave a promise, and then He gave a blessing, and then He gave a trial. If I was Abraham, who trusted God, I'm like, okay, I believe in your promise. And the promise came, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, I'll call you when I need you. What would a modern-day Abraham look like in today's world? Imagine God answered the promise, He gave the blessing, and now He tells you, go up and offer your child as a sacrifice. Will you and I pack up and go to the mountain by faith? No wonder Abraham lived, and no wonder Abraham believed God. And James records for us in chapter 2, verse 21. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God, because those who are faithful are called friends of God. Faith proves itself by real works. We are not saved by our works, but faithful works flows from saving faith. If you want to do greater works, start praying, God, give me greater faith. Not faith that I can calculate and balance my bank account. Not faith that I can make my monthly bills. But faith, God, how can you use the little that I have to do all that you call me to do? That faith. In 1958, Christian missionary Elizabeth Elliot returned to the Ecuadorian rainforest to live with the Wadani, the tribe who killed her husband only 2 years earlier. A choice to forgive rather than retaliate sparked a change in the Wadani, who left behind a cycle of violence to embrace a life of love. In a biography, it is written, I quote Elizabeth Elliot, "Faith does not eliminate questions, But faith knows where to take them. My dear friends, if you are going to do greater works that Jesus has called you to do, you've got to have greater faith. And that faith will not have all the answers for you. All you got to do is bring your yes to the table and watch how God works. Watch how God works. Hebrews chapter 11. Will any of our names make it in that faith chapter? Will any of our names make it into the faith hall of fame? By faith, I did greater works. This world is broken. And the reason why we are not hungry for deeper faith is because we are not convinced that the world's greatest problem is sin and really convicted that the only answer is Jesus. The greatest problem in the world is not finances, or God would have sent riches. The greatest worry and trouble in the world is not sickness, or God would have sent vaccines. The greatest problem in the world is sin, and He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That you have called to herald it now to the world. For you to do greater works, you and I need to have greater faith. Faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Not only you need to have a greater faith, my friends, you also need to have a greater presence. Greater presence. Let's go back to the verse. And greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Because I am going to the Father. When Jesus goes to the Father, he says, you can't do the greater works as yet. I still got work to do. Jesus said, I still have work to do. I still got to die. I still got to raise from the dead. And when I go to the Father, I'm going to send you someone, not something, someone. His name is the Holy Spirit. And when He comes upon you, you will be equipped and empowered to do greater works for me. Greater works for me. God's presence is a Holy Spirit-filled disciple in proximity. Say the word proximity. Proximity. Let's go again. Proximity. If you got the Holy Spirit in you, quit hiding in the pew. And be where the need is at. If you believe that Jesus is the answer for the world today, quit hiding in the pew and go be with people so that they can be with Jesus. That's the word proximity. We all like to have discipleship groups and have coffee. That's all we like to do. When lostness is being multiplied all over around us. Can you think with me for a minute? In the United States right now, it's the most attended evangelical congregation in the world. America has the most attended evangelicals in the world. Number two, the American church has the most resources ever in history in the world. But answer me this one question. Why are the needs in our community always multiplying when we have the most people and the most resources? Because we don't want to have greater presence. The Holy Spirit is the last subject that Jesus taught his disciples before he goes to the cross. The only way Jesus' disciples will be able to be used to do greater works is through the Holy Spirit. And he could be sent, he's called the Comforter. When he goes to the Father, he will send the Holy Spirit on. Look at what verse number 15 says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Amen? I will come to you. So what he's talking about, the Parakletos. The Parakletos is translated helper. This Greek word is found five times in the New Testament. And the last subject that Jesus is talking to the disciples, he mentioned it four times. I think it's really important. When Jesus is talking, when I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Parakletos. It's coming. The Parakletos most literally means one called to come alongside you. One called to come alongside you. The word Parakletos is still used today in the Mediterranean. This word can still be used in reference to a rescue boat that finds a vessel lost in desperation and leads frantic passengers to a safe harbor. So they send a safe boat call to come alongside the panicking boat of passengers to bring them to safety. Come alongside. Disciple of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is called alongside you to help you, to walk beside you, to convict you, to comfort you. Not so that we can just all sit together and have a good time. No. If the Holy Spirit is coming alongside you, then you go to this dying world and come alongside them so that they can come to know Jesus Christ. The word is presence, proximity. Look at the life of Jesus. What are the rhythms of Jesus? Where did he spend his time? He went towards the hurting. He went towards the ones outside the city limits. He went in and met the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The presence of Jesus allowed him to do great works. Imagine the presence of the local church, how much greater work we can do. Amen? Amen. When I was in primary school in South Africa, every day there'll be a call. Sean Pillay, present. Some days, absent. Today, the call is coming in Escambia County. Number one in fentanyl overdoses. Can Olive Baptist Church be present? There's human trafficking going on. This week I met with an organization. We're in tears. Women trafficking is going on right in our neighborhood. Can Olive Baptist Church please be present? Schools are going down. They're building more prison cells than they're building classrooms. Can Olive Baptist Church please be present? Boys looking for a father. Men, can you please be present? You don't need another conference. You just need to wake up from your lazy behinds and be present. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. So just imagine our entire budget of our church, our entire facility of our church, everything we have in our church was an answer of 40 days of fasting and prayer. Will you steward it differently? Or we just enjoy what we have because what we have is what we have. Proximity. Be close to those who are needy. They are not a nuisance. They are an opportunity to show the love of Jesus. Jesus was always present. He moved towards the hurting. And if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you move towards people who are hurting. Don't make a committee to do the work. Don't delegate someone to do the work. Is a great commission not good enough, not a bigger challenge for you? I mean, the most scary ever mission in the world is called the Great Commission. Does that don't even make the hair on the back of your neck stand? Dear disciple of Jesus Christ, for 2,000 years, Jesus said, "You are my disciples." Fishermen got it. Fishermen got it. Uneducated, ordinary men, Acts chapter 4. There's books and books and books have been written. Who is a disciple? We've bought books upon books to learn who is a disciple. And I don't know what your understanding of a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. And every follower of Jesus Christ is about people. If you are in discipleship and does not involve people, you are not in discipleship. You are in a selfish group. If you're not growing and helping hurting people. Because the closer you grow to Christ, the more you love them and move closer to those furthest from Him. So the more you grow in Christ, the more closer you move those who are furthest from Him. Do you know when it becomes urgent? When one of our children walks away from God, all of a sudden, discipleship is urgent for you. Why? You're selfish because of your son. But when things were all going well, you didn't care. If there was a sign-up sheet right now on the altar, would you come and sign up to do greater works? Or are you just comfortable where you are? Let compassion feed the children. That 1 billion children, let compassion reach them. We are okay where we are. Is that our attitude? Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that joy in the Holy Spirit is seeking those who are lost. That joy in the Holy Spirit is being with people who are lost. Jesus called his disciples and he said, go and be with people so that they can be with Jesus. If you want to do greater works, you need to have greater faith. If you want to do greater works, you need to be having greater presence. Where the need is, the church must be present. I mean, I love what Navy Federal, the business they brought. But Navy Federal, please forgive me, Jim Harris, they're not the hope of the world. The church is. I love Florida Power and Light. They need to do more. They charge us more. They're not the hope of the world. I love Sacred Heart. I love Baptist Hospital. Why are Navy Federal, Florida Power and Light, Sacred Heart, Baptist Hospital are beating the church to reach our community? Why? Does Navy Federal have the Great Commission when you enter? Or the church? You can go on to say Escambia is the number two poorest county in Florida. You can go on to say they're number one in fentanyl overdose. But if this is just a church service for you, they will be dying by the thousands. A disciple is walking by faith, not by sight. Kerry Neuroff wrote about, my friend in Canada wrote about people in Easter. He says, unchurched people know the Easter story. They just don't care. They already know what happened. The church needs to show them why it has happened. Because you know why, church friends? The world cannot define Jesus. Only the church can do that. But if the church is absent in the world, then the world is going to have their own definition of who Jesus is. Amen? Be present. Proximity. This past week, we had some friends over at the house who are fasting the Ramadan. And we invited them to come home to break the fast called iftar. They don't know the Easter story. They are my neighbors. They are fasting for 1 month. They don't even know when the fast is going to end. But they are fasting in fear to earn points to go to heaven. They're right now in neighborhood. Are you present where the lostness is? How about your school or your workplace? How about your neighborhood? Is your neighborhood a better place because you live there? Is your college a better place because you attend there? When the church is alive, hear me, church, when the church is alive, we not only experience it in this building, we experience it in the community. When the church is alive, we not only experience it here, it overflows in the community. Get this, 40 miracles are recorded in the book of Acts. 40 miracles in the book of Acts. 39 happened outside the church walls. Worship services are breaking out in dungeons. Chains are falling down. Prison doors are bursting open. Not out there. Time magazine calls 2024 the year of elections. 64 countries will go to the polls, including America and my beloved South Africa. The answer is not in the political seat. The answer is one who sits on the throne in heaven. He has a name, he's called Jesus Christ. He has a people called the church. So don't trust the elections, trust Jesus. I know time is going, my friends. Allow me, number three. If you want to have a greater works, you need to have greater faith. You need to have greater presence and be present where the need is at. That is why we have Send Relief. Send Relief. I have college students that just came from Boston, the city that's very close to my heart, and I love the city. We spent a lot of time there. The North American Mission Board and the International Mission Board brought Send Relief. Why? They're meeting needs in Jesus' name. Right, Jack? Do you know why they're doing that? To meet the need and share the gospel. To meet the prostitute and share the gospel. To meet the homeless and share the gospel. To meet the refugee and welcome them to the house called the church. Send Relief is present where the need is at. But number three, bear with me for a minute. Greater proclamation. You want to have greater works? You need to have greater proclamation. Look at what he says. And you will do greater works than these. What is he talking about? Now let's take a look at Philip. Philip in this context is asking Jesus, show us the Father. Greater proclamation. I believe we have a telescope. And the telescope goes two ways. You can see near distance and even further. We can get so wrapped up in our community that we forget the world. Let's look at the world. When you look at the life of Philip, and Philip is asking the question, look at what happens in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4 to 8. Let me read for you quickly. A greater proclamation. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and they saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. What happened to Philip? He heard the words of Jesus. That you will do greater works. Jesus gave the Great Commission. Let me give you a quick synopsis. Jesus gave the Great Commission. He's gone to the Father. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Philip was in the room. And he heard the words of Jesus. And you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Do you know what Philip did? Philip said, I am going to the nations. Philip was the first guy to cross the cross-cultural barrier and take the gospel to Samaria. That's right, unclean people like John chapter 4. Because Philip believed, Jesus said, I can do greater works. The Spirit of God has come. And guess what I'm doing? I'm getting about reaching the nations. So Philip goes for the first time, the cross-cultural barrier is reached, and the gospel now is being preached to all people groups. What happened? People are coming to know Jesus Christ. If you look at the gospel of or the book of Acts, from chapter 8 to chapter 11, it moved from persecution to proclamation. Now the gospel is moving beyond the borders and it's going all over the world, and people are being saved and people are being baptized. That's what's happening. That's what Philip believed. He said, Jesus said, I'll do greater works. The Holy Spirit has come upon me. Now let me go. There's nations in this world are waiting for you to go. Guess what we will do when persecution comes? Guess what we will do? We will have a church meeting and take up an offering. Not only that, but chapter 8, verse number 26, Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. Again, why is Philip talking? Because he knew Philip was like Jesus, his master, leaving the crowds and going to that one individual, so that the gospel can penetrate the world. The world. Wow. Harlan Kayson, your son is in the world right now. I know where he's sleeping tonight. And I know where he's going tomorrow, because God is calling to the nations. I'm not going to say, I wasn't supposed to say this, but I'm going to say this. About 3 weeks ago, a couple of my friends and I from Europe, we descended upon a desert in the Middle East. And we flew in around 5 in the morning, and we carried books with us. And we took the books to who needed them. And in this region, it's hard to even explain, but 3.9 million people, there's less than 30 Christ followers. This Christ follower don't know that Christ follower because they're scared if they talk about it, someone may just betray each other. And I'm in the middle of a desert during Ramadan. You can't find food to eat. And Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 14 comes to mind. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's no sea, there's sand. A call goes out to a lady and said, the brothers are here, they brought your book. Response came, I can't wait to hold my book and open it and kiss it for the first time. I was like, holy smokes. Or you can wait till next Sunday to hear another sermon, and next Sunday another sermon, next Sunday another sermon, and do squat about it. What's your contribution? J.D. Greer wrote this in his book, Gaining by Losing. I quote, the question is no longer if we are called, only where and how. The call to follow him is a call to be sent and to send. My dear friends, what if? Just what if we become the biggest sending church in all of the land. And we gain by losing our best people to the greatest command to go change the world. And all our resources will go to people like Jack to go change the world. What will happen to our church? The problem with our church and every church in the Western culture, we've shown the people Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan is pretty big. It's not the ocean. We need to show them the ocean. International Mission Board are asking people, men and women, come on. Take the gospel where it's never been before so there could be oasis in the desert. There can be life in barrenness. Or you and I can settle to live a life by sight and not by faith. The question is no longer if we are called. You are called. If you know Jesus, you are called. The only answer you need to know is where and how. So in this picture you're going to see up here, I know time is gone. We won't sing at the end. We'll pray. This is the Last Supper. That's what Jesus did. Now, this is great work to bring those people together. Okay? That's great work. Amen? You want to see what's greater work? This is greater work. That's the next supper. The next supper don't look like the last supper. Are you willing to take the gospel to set the table for the next supper in reaching our neighbors and the nations with the good news of Jesus Christ? You cannot say, I cannot afford it. You cannot say, no one to support me. You cannot make any excuse. What if, my friends, what if, Olive Baptist Church, we adopt an unreached, unengaged people group of the world? What if we send our best and the brightest to be gospel carriers to the ends of the earth? I asked my friend, what are we doing in the desert? He said, we are gospel carriers. We carry the truth. We are truth carriers, and the truth will set the people free. What if we take over a village so that we can eradicate poverty in that village in Jesus' name? Come on, Crossroads. What if we say, hey, we're going to adopt a region and we're going to make disciples and send them to the region and change the world? Come on, connection groups. Or what if we said, it's not my job and we'll do nothing? I promise you, I'm done. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, every nation from every tribe and peoples and language, standing before the throne before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is future. Jesus, death, burial, resurrection, Pentecost, church. This is future. Can you sign up to set the table for the next supper?